Let's pray as we come to God's word this morning. Heavenly Father, thank you for gathering us here today. Thank you for the Apostle Paul. And please teach us what you want us to learn from his letter to the Philippians. In Jesus' name. Amen. During this past week, on Wednesday, September the 11th, I celebrated being your senior minister for 19 years. Thank you. And it's been a wonderful period of ministry, and I'm very grateful to God for allowing me to be here and for everything that's happened in that time. But I must admit, sometimes it's nice looking back, and it's rather troubling looking forward. And I wonder about the future of St. Alfred's. Where will St. Alfred's be in 10 years' time, or in 50 years' time, or even 100 years' time? Will it still be flourishing? Or will it have lost its way? Will it still be a church even? Or will it have turned into a restaurant or an office block or a medical practice? None of those things are bad, but it's a terrible thought to think that a church might go out of business, and I try not to think about it too much because the future of St. Alfred's is out of my control. All I can do is ensure we remain faithful to Christ while we're here in the present. And this church that we're meeting today in the letter of Philippians is a young church wondering about its future. It's maybe about 10 years old. It's fragile. There are pressures on the church internally and from outside. And the people probably wonder, a bit like me sometimes in my darker moments, what's the future look like? What's going to happen? It was risky being a Christian then, and it's still quite risky being a Christian in many parts of the world. And it's into this context then that Paul writes to them. He helped found this church somewhere around 51-52 AD, and he's now writing back to encourage them. And one of the first things you notice in these 11 verses is that he feels great affection for this church, and he wants them to be confident about the future. Let me just draw your attention to some of the things to do with Paul's affection, some of the things that he says to them. If you have a Bible, you might like to follow these verses, but I'll put some of them up on screen for you. So he says in verse 3, I thank my God every time I remember you. Now, I know a lot of clergy, and it's not always true that when they remember or think about their churches, that they thank God. There are some ex-clergy here today. Sometimes what clergy remember when they think about their ministry is how hard it was. They think about the pain. But this is quite the opposite for Paul. He's so thankful for the Philippian church. Verse 4, he says, in all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy. Isn't that wonderful? I have you in my heart, verse 7. I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. Now, these are very sincere and deep feelings. And Paul says it's right to feel this way, verse 7, because he and the Philippians all share something very, very precious, which is they've all experienced God's grace. Now, let's just think about that for a moment. In Paul's life, he experienced God's grace. Remember, he was this fire-eating, Christian-hating person who God knocked off his horse on the road to Damascus and turned into one of the most effective and greatest missionaries and evangelists of the early church. That was all by God's grace. Then it's only by God's grace that Paul ends up in Philippi at all. He was on a mission in what we would call today Turkey. He was down in the south and he was heading towards the north and he was trying to go further into Turkey. And he was stopped by the Holy Spirit. We don't know how, but it became clear to him that he should not continue on his journey into Turkey. And then one night while he was trying to figure out what to do, he had a vision of a man across the sea in what we would call modern day Greece saying, come and help us. A man in Macedonia. So he was prevented by the Holy Spirit in going in one direction, and then he was called by a vision to go in another direction. So he and his mates got on a boat, crossed the Aegean Sea, and end up on the coast of Macedonia, and they end up in the city of Philippi. All by God's grace, a door closed, another door opened, and he ends up in the city of Philippi. Then in Philippi, it's only by God's grace that people become Christians. You can read about this in Acts 16. The first converts in Philippi include Lydia, a businesswoman, and then a slave girl who's affected by a demonic spirit, and then the man in charge of the local jail. They're all wonderfully converted to Christ by the grace of God. So that's why Paul feels this deep affection for them. They share this experience of God's grace in their lives. God has changed them, and he's changed Paul. And that's actually what happens in Christian ministry. If you've ever been involved in starting something for God, you know, a new ministry, a new church, or you've been there when somebody becomes a Christian, it's the first steps of someone taking a stand of faith in Christ, there will always be a special bond between you and them or with that event. You'll always look back with affection because you were so aware that God was at work and you were part of it. Now, this is why Paul describes their relationship as a partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Verse 5. They are now fellow believers with Paul. They're partners. They believe what Paul believed. They've been influenced by what Paul's been influenced, the gospel of Jesus, and that's all by the grace of God. And as Paul writes to them from a prison in Rome or a house arrest in Rome, his heart is filled with love and affection for them because of what God has done in their life and in his life. And it's a wonderful picture of God's work. Now, folks, it's lovely seeing you all here today, and I'm enjoying being back preaching this morning, but we have to reflect on the fact that none of us are here because of our merits, because we're great people. You are great people, but you're not here because you're great people. You're here because of God's grace. God's grace has brought you to faith. God's grace has affected you at some stage in your life. God's grace then has brought you to St. Alfred's, to this church, and it's God's grace that we have each other as brothers and sisters in Christ. We too are partners in the gospel with one another, and we're partners historically with Paul and the Philippians. We are continuing on that gospel ministry. Now, although we may not feel exactly what Paul felt for the Philippians, it is appropriate that we develop deep relationships with one another. When you leave, if and when you leave St. Alfred's, it should be painful. It should hurt because your relationships are so deep and mean so much to you. That we feel genuine affection for one another and have real friendships. This is a wonderful gift of God's grace. And I'm always thankful to God for being called to St. Alfred's. It was by his grace that I was brought here many, many years ago. And like Paul, it's mainly because I've seen God at work here, that when I look back in years to come, I will look back with great affection. For example, just this year, we've taken risks with our Explore events and mission, and it's been so encouraging to meet people's guests and to help people think about Jesus. God has been good to us, and there is much to be thankful for. Now, what about the future? I come back to where I started. What's the future for St. Alfred's? What did the future hold for the young church at Philippi? It was difficult being a Christian in that ancient pagan world. And it's difficult being a Christian and being church in our modern world, isn't it? How did Paul encourage the Philippians? And what did he say to them that might encourage us now? Well, let's look at Paul's confidence and his prayer. And we come to verse 6, which Mike read out at the start of the service. Paul's encouragement is this. He says in verse 6, I am confident of this, that he, that's God, who began a good work in you, will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Now, surprisingly for a man under house arrest in Rome, Paul is convinced that God is in control. God has started something in Philippi and he's not going to let it fail. The gospel has been preached in this pagan city. People like Lydia have come to faith. A church has begun, and God will carry this good work on to its completion until the day of Christ Jesus. That is, until Christ returns, whenever that may be. God is in control. Now, that's the future for Philippi. That's how Paul encourages the Philippians. And that's the future for St. Alfred's and God's church around the world. God will finish what he's begun. Now, notice that his confidence is not in the Philippians. They are a great church. You are a great church. But I would be foolish to put my confidence in you. Please don't take that wrongly. But you're not God. Our confidence is in God. It is God who began the good work in Philippi, and it is God who will keep working until Christ returns. So the church, whether in the ancient Greek city of Philippi or the modern city of Melbourne, is God's. It came into being through God's good work, and God will ensure his church carries on to completion until Christ returns. So God has started a good work here in Blackburn North, as he did back in Philippi. And whether there is a church on this actual spot in 100 years' time, I don't know. You don't know. But what I do know is that God will carry on his work through his people, whatever that looks like. He will not let his people go. And you see that through the vast trajectory of the Old Testament through into the New Testament. God is at work in his people no matter what happens. So that's in terms of the church. Let me just focus this down personally. What about me? How can I know that God has started a good work in me? Well, let's go back to the phrase in verse 5, partnership in the gospel. If you are a partner in the gospel, there will be signs in your life. You will be living it out. If you truly believe the gospel about Jesus, it will affect your life, what you do. Faith in Jesus might begin as something internal, like a conviction or a belief, but inevitably it spills out into your behaviours, your actions. Now, what do I mean by this? Well, let's just go back to Philippi and think about a couple of those early converts. You may remember, some of you may remember the story of Lydia, the businesswoman. As soon as she hears the gospel, her heart is turned to faith in Christ. She gets baptized, and then she opens her home to Paul and his colleagues. She offers them hospitality, and her home becomes the base of gospel ministry. So she starts living out the gospel. It affects what she does. Or the man in charge of the jail, once he hears the gospel, gathers all his family, says, come and listen to what this man has to tell us. They all get baptized in the middle of the night, and Paul's been roughed up and beaten. So the man starts to bathe his wounds and look after him and again offers him food. He starts to live out the gospel. Both of these people have become partners in the gospel with Paul, and they open up their lives, their hearts, their homes to serve Paul and the gospel. So if you have experienced God's love in Christ, then it will overflow out of your life. You will be living it out. That is how you will know God has started a good work in you. You'll want to help others, especially other Christians. You'll want to use your home and your resources, your gifts, for God's purposes. And God will then carry on his good work in you to completion till the day of Christ Jesus. So if you're sitting here this morning and maybe you've come to something during our Explore mission and you've heard something about Jesus, you've responded in some way, but you're still not sure, this is something to look forward to, that as God takes hold of your life by his grace, you will start to want to do things that God wants. Your heart will warm as you see God doing things through you, using you, using your home, using your resources. On the other hand, if you say you are a Christian and there are no signs of that in your life, then it's questionable whether anything has changed for you. Now, if that is you, come on the Christianity Explored course and really get to know what Christ has done for you, because it will open your heart. The Holy Spirit will work in you and God will draw you to himself. Do come. Now, if we are confident that God will finish his work in us, so God will do his work, if we're confident of that, and we're confident of that working in us and at St. Alfred's, can't we just sit back and relax? God's going to do it all. Isn't that great? Let's just all have a holiday. Leave it all to God. Well, that's not really the right way of reading Philippians, and dare I say it, not really the right way of reading the Bible. Because if God is at work in you, then you have a responsibility to respond. It's like a parent loving their child. The child just doesn't take it all for granted, we hope, but responds to what their parents are doing for them out of love. And Paul tells us then, towards the end in verses 9 to 11, through his prayer, what our response involves. Would you read this prayer with me from the screen together? And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. That's a prayer for spiritual growth. We're confident that God will work, but our role is to grow as Christians. Paul prays that the Philippians will grow. First of all, he prays, notice in the second line on the screen, he prays that their love will grow. Presumably this means that they'll grow in love for God and for one another. Now, no matter how good a church is, there is always room for more love, isn't there? There's always more room for love for one another, and there's always more room for love for God. Secondly, he prays that they would grow, or we would grow, in knowledge and insight. He prays that our growth in love will be accompanied by our growth in knowledge of God and insight into God's ways. I think the two are connected. I've struggled over this verse quite a bit, but I think the two are connected. The more you know God, the more you have insight into God's ways, the more you'll move to love God. You see that God's ways are best. So this comes mainly through reading God's word and getting to know God. And then this growth in love and knowledge and insight is for a purpose, says in verse 10, so that we might be able to discern what is best. That is a great prayer. Please pray that for yourself, that you would be able to discern what is best. Who has any decisions that they have to make this week? Some of you are lying or you're lazy. Do you know in those decisions what is best? Not always, do we? It's a complex world. So Paul is praying that we'll grow in love and knowledge and insight about God's ways, so that we might know what is best according to God. We would have God's perspective on things. So you see, no matter how wonderful a Christian may be or how wonderful a church may be, there's always room for this sort of growth: love, knowledge, insight, and discernment. God will complete the good work that he has started, and the way that happens is through our continued growth. Now, let me give you a modern example of what I think Paul is saying, just to exemplify this. It comes from the latest newsletter from Langham Preaching. Some copies are out in the foyer. And in it, they tell the story of Pastor Michael in Sarawak in Malaysia. When Michael was a young man, he lived a life of drunkenness, gambling, and violence. And he had five children from three different wives. About 5 years ago, so this is in recent memory, about 5 years ago, Michael became a Christian. He met Jesus, and his heart and life were transformed. He is now a missionary in an area of Sarawak that is only accessible by small boat. And the report says that in this area, about 100 years ago, the people were headhunters. Some of the villagers have come to faith, but it's hard work, and there are other competing faiths in the area, also trying to win the people over. God has begun a good work in Pastor Michael and in this village, but they must pray for continued growth. And interestingly, Pastor Michael has an elderly Christian lady who helps him, and she was asked, "How do you reach these villages with the gospel?" And her simple answer was, "With love." Now, that's consistent with Paul's encouragement that we must abound more and more in love. So in these opening verses of Philippians, which we're going to look at over the next, or in this book of Philippians, which we're going to look at over the next month or so, a couple of months, we've seen in these first few verses Paul's affection for the Philippians. He's so thankful to God for them, so thankful for what Christ has done, what God has done by his grace in these people. He looks back with great affection. Then he looks forward, and he looks forward with confidence that God will complete what he's going to do, what he's come to do, until the Lord returns. He has this great long time perspective. God will complete what he started. And then he prays that until Christ returns, this little church would continue to grow in love for one another, in understanding of God, in their discernment, and in their moral stability, their righteousness. And folks, that's what he would pray for us. We don't know what the future holds, but I pray that we will grow in love, that people who come in here, people who come as visitors, people who come as guests, people who are looking for God, they might experience the reality of who Christ Jesus is. They might be transformed. They might experience the grace of God. And they will do that largely through meeting you. So I pray that you will grow and love will abound in you, and that you will grow in your knowledge and insight of God and your discernment of what is right. Let me pray for you now as we close. Heavenly Father, thank you for this letter of Paul to the Philippians, that wonderful group of people who were so responsive to the gospel when Paul and Timothy and Silas and others came preaching about this new life in the Lord Jesus. Thank you for the heritage of the gospel in that country, in Greece and then in Europe. Thank you for those who brought the gospel here to Australia and to this part of Melbourne. Thank you for those who've been partners in the gospel in our lives and helped us come to know and love you. And Lord, I pray for us now, individually and as a church, that we would trust you for our future, that you will continue to do your good work in us. But also, Lord, as Paul has prayed, that we would grow in love and knowledge and insight and discernment, that we would grow in the fruits of righteousness until the Lord returns. In his name we pray. Amen.